Well, hello, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Washing Word. My name is Matthew, and as always, we will continue to do verse by verse Bible teaching messages right here on MCH, 1260 AM here in Churchill and the surrounding area. And it's basically an extension of our business, the Washing Word Hand Car Washing, which is located in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11 in Churchill. There you can get your car washed by hand for a really good price. We do a really good job. And also, these messages that you hear on the radio are transmitted daily in the parking lot of the Washing Word. So you can come by if you missed it or you need to hear it again. You can swing by the Washing Word, and you can either get your car washed while you listen to it, or just pull into the parking lot, and the message will play on a loop all day long. And it's a new verse-by-verse Bible message, Monday through Friday. Also, we would encourage you to come by the website. It's washingword.com. There you can find archived messages, and of course, all the information you would want to know about the website or about the ministry and the car wash. So we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study. We are currently in the Gospel of John, and we're going to pick up, as always, right where we leave off, and that would be in verse 35. So if you would have your Bibles open or just lend me an ear, we will begin reading in verse 35, and it says, "The next day..." Okay, you know what? Let's stop right there. I want to stop right there because that's the third time that this statement is seen right here in chapter 1. We saw it in verse 29 where it began, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. And here in verse 35 it says the next day John was there with his two disciples. And we see it also again in verse 43. And basically we have like a five-day succession with the narrative here in John chapter 1. And I alluded to this phrase a couple of teachings ago. Again, you can get those messages on the washingword.com media tab if you want to go back and listen to them. But we looked at this, and you know, we see it for a second time already here in chapter 1, the next day. And well, it's been basically that many days. It's been 2 days since it started, Jesus started his public ministry. Now, let me start out today with an application that perhaps might read into this text a little bit, but the rapid succession of events from the moment that John the Baptist stood up to his detractors and the moment that Jesus started his public ministry is kind of indicative of how God often works in our own very lives. Let me explain. You see, John the Baptist, he was set forth. He was born. He was created, if you will, for a specific purpose of God. He was created for a specific plan that God had in mind for his life. And as awesome as John the Baptist's ministry and life was, we can uphold that same exact application to our own lives, that we also were created by God for a specific time, a specific purpose, and a specific plan. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But here, verse 10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so, of all the things that John the Baptist did in his short earthly public ministry, and that is preaching loudly and boldly and baptizing and calling people out to repentance, and of all the things he did, and of all the things he didn't do, like seeking self-pleasure and going after worldly possessions and backing down from wickedness and false teachings. So of all the things that he did and all the things that he didn't do, His mission, his reason for being created, if you will, culminated into what we read in our last teaching about Jesus coming on the scene, receiving the Holy Spirit, and starting his public ministry. So here's the application that I want to start off today's teaching with, and that is this. There is a tipping point of God's power. There is a tipping point of God's power. And let me explain by first maybe giving you an example. Maybe you've experienced this, but you ever been to a water park? You know, one of those that are attached to the amusement parks, and you know, it has there's a section where they have this big area where kids can play, and there's this giant bucket. And this giant bucket sits atop of everything, about a story or two up, and it begins to fill up with water, and it's kind of resting on sort of a pipe or an axle, kind of a hinge thing. And what happens is this barrel begins to fill up with water, and slowly as it fills up with water, you know, it's centered at first, but as the water begins to fill up and it begins to take a little bit of a wave inside there, it begins to bring more water to one side and then back to the other side, and as it continues to fill up and more weight goes in the barrel, and it's filling up and it's getting larger, and all of a sudden what will happen is at some point, we call this the tipping point, the barrel will just tip over and a big torrent of water will splash down on everybody, and you know, it's quite an experience, and it's exciting, and everyone gets wet, and then the thing levels it back off and it starts off again. So this tipping point that I'm talking about is in our lives, there's oftentimes God, he brings us to this tipping point. You see, we can spend so much of our lives and so much of our time contending with God. Has this been your experience? We spend so many years, perhaps, just contending with the Lord's will. And so often we miss so much of what Ephesians 2, verse 10 that we read. We miss so much of the purpose and the plan that God had for our lives, for creating us. We miss it every day, and every moment that we live outside of God's will, we are cheating ourselves out of the good and perfect and pleasing will of God. In fact, in Romans 12:2, it actually says that. God says that we should not conform any longer to this pattern of the world, but we should be transformed by renewing our minds. Well, why? Well, it goes on to say, we will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And so we contend with God for so many periods of our life, but oftentimes, and to God's glory and the credit of the working of the Holy Spirit in us, oftentimes we'll catch on. That is, we'll get it. All of a sudden, that struggle, we overcome it. Maybe a light goes on, and we cross this threshold of sorts. We finally understand what God was trying to do in our lives. You know, maybe you just get sick and tired of living for yourself, or maybe you're just tired of trying to run your own life, only to watch failure after failure. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, or you get laid off from work, or your spouse leaves you, or whatever the reason is. Sometimes there's this point where we get it, and it's like a tipping point, and the time will come when the tipping point of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life just pours out. And when that happens, your life lines up with God's will, and that purpose that you were created for begins to click on all cylinders. And you just start moving. What is the point I'm making here? Well, the point is this. The lesson that we can learn from John the Baptist's life at this point in his ministry is that you and I can spend so much time trying to quit this in our life or trying to add that. But you see, when the Spirit finally takes over and when you finally decide to surrender, God starts moving. And let me tell you, my friends, oftentimes he starts moving rapidly. And this is what I saw here, where we see this pattern of the next day, the next day, the next day. Yeah, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced God doing something in an instant of your life that which you have tried and failed to do for years. It's like all of a sudden it just clicks and it just goes away, or it gets added, whatever it is you've been struggling with or contending with. I can remember a time in my life when I was much younger, teenage years, experimenting with things. And, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes for a while there, and for about 7 years, actually. And I never wanted to, and I tried to quit so often. But every time I tried to quit, I failed. And it was probably because I was trying to quit my own power. And I started, you know, God started getting a hold of me. And then, anyway, there just came this one time where I just threw the cigarettes down. And I said, that's enough. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was the one leading me to do it at that point. And you know what? I never picked up a cigarette since then. Been 30 years now since then. And it's like when God finally gets to that tipping point in your life, things start to happen fast. But there's a part B of this application, if you will, and that is, if and when that begins to happen in your life, you need to prepare yourself to be thrust into whatever. That is, if you do surrender and God does start moving fast in your life, that tipping point takes over, prepare yourself for maybe your ministry to really expand or grow or even explode. Be prepared for opposition, for sure. Friends, family, you're going to have opposition when God really starts to take a hold of you and start moving in your life. Be prepared also for perhaps your spouse or your friends to contend with you. Just be prepared for rapid change. But I promise you, whatever the result of God getting a hold of you and you coming into line with God's will and God's purpose, when that pattern in your life all of a sudden becomes the next day, the next day, the next day, and God, it's something you've been trying to deal with or contend with or quit or add on for years and years and years, all of a sudden it happens, it's going to happen really fast. And come what may, good or bad of results, God is working all things out for your good and for your benefit. And, you know, we see that Romans chapter 8, 28 gets quoted a lot, but a lot of times we forget what 29 says. In Romans 8, 28 says, we all know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But verse 29 says, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And you see, so when God begins to move, good or bad, in your life, he works these things out for good, and that good is the conforming into God's will and likeness of his son. Now, I would like to get back into the text because we only covered three words on this message, but we're running out of time. So tomorrow, I encourage you to come back. We will pick it up again in verse 35, and I promise we'll get farther than just three words. But again, I want to remind you, you could listen to this message playing on a loop right here in the parking lot at the Wash and Word in Church Hill on Highway 11 in the Powell Shopping Center. You can come by the business. We are a Christian business ministry. We don't ask for money. We're not trying to request tithing or anything. We want to work hard to support our own ministry, much like Paul did when he made tents. And so we wash cars, and we do a really good job. We have a fair price, and we do it all for the glory of God. So we encourage you to come by and support our ministry. And again, tune in tomorrow, and we will pick up again. This is a verse-by-verse ministry. My name is Matthew Monona, and thankful for you tuning in, and we look forward to continuing God's great gospel and his great verse-by-verse teachings that he gives through the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.